Village Round Lake, Committee of the Whole, November 7th, 2016.
I'd like to call the order for the Village of Round Lake, Committee of the Whole meeting of November 7th, 2016, 7:23 p.m. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Foy.
Present.
Trustee Fry. Trustee Crowley. Trustee Newby. Trustee Rodriguez.
Present.
Trustee Trippin.
Present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I get a motion for item 2.1, approve the minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting of October
17, 2016. So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Trippon, seconded by Trustee Rodriguez. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. No public comment. Committee of the Whole, Human Resource and Finance, 2016 Proposed Tax Levy.
Mr. Mayor and Board of Trustees, before you is the proposed tax levy, which is almost exactly the same as the estimated tax levy that was not the consent agenda tonight. The only difference is we increased our new property EAV estimate from $300,000 to $500,000. Which increased the maximum allowable extension by $2,600. We just want to make sure we capture everything that may be available.
I just want to tell you, it seems odd for people that aren't used to it that you do an estimate on consent and we're bringing back the proposed state law, so you have to do an estimate before you do your proposals. So that's just the way it works. We're actually ahead of the game, and that's why you're seeing one at the consent and then one at the whole right afterwards.
Yeah. Any questions?
I'm good.
Moving forward. Thank you, White. Under Public Works, Mr. Weedo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Board of Trustees. I have a couple items for you this evening. The first one is we'd like to add some additional water main work to the Nipissing Road project. I'm sure you're all aware of the construction being done on Nipissing. We're replacing a section of water main, and as we were getting ready to do the work, we found out that one of the valves, just a little bit beyond the limit, is broken in the off position. Because we have a crew there with price established and the area is already torn up pretty good. Staff feels it's really in the village's best interest to extend the project limits by about 85 feet and replace that broken valve while we're there. The work is expected to cost right around $30,000. You can see I tried to break it out between MFP funds and water and sewer funds, that our project is split. So it's about $15,000 under MFP and a little over $16,000 that would go under water sewer. When funds were budgeted for this project, the bids came in under that budget. So most of that cost will be in that budgeted amount from the original estimate. You can see the water and the sewer, it'll be about an extra $3,000 to $4,000. Are there any questions about what I'm asking for or where it's going?
I think it's wonderful that you caught it now. Instead of getting the road all done, something happens and we're moving up the section of the road to find what we already took down.
That's
we
exactly
see that
what
happens so
for.
Often. So it's nice that you're catching it. Yeah. In the end, it will be cheaper.
I don't see any viable alternative but to fix it.
The only question I have is how did we come to the knowledge of it being broken in the off position? And you mentioned 85 feet. That's 85 feet of water main that's going to be replaced that we weren't expecting to take.
Correct.
To replace?
Yes. The limits of the project stops where the pipe would just reduce, the new pipe would just reduce into the existing pipe. We found out that the existing valve was broken when a former employee, Joel Molitor, stopped by. notified us that he was aware that the valve was broken as we were spinning the valves to check for the water main shutdown to begin work on this construction project.
GIS, Joe. But why not just replace the valve and leave the water main?
The water main is pretty old in that area of town. We've had several breaks already. So if we were to replace water main in one section and the valve over here, you'd be leaving a bad spot in between. And I think it just makes sense to have all new pipe going up to that new valve. So if we ever continue with the water main work beyond that valve, we'll have a nice point to tie into. Everything will be tidy from there going backwards. We don't have to worry about trying to leapfrog a valve to catch a bad piece of pipe on the other side. And we'd have to do two sections of shutdowns as opposed to just one.
Nope, just good. I want this, like, to have it described for public record. Thank you. We'll move this forward, everybody.
Go ahead. Thank you. The next item I have is a proposal from Baxter Woodman Control Systems Integration to provide materials and installation for a new control, for SCADA integration of the new control cabinet that we've installed at the Lakewood Lift Station. The new control cabinet is a project that was started 2 or 3 years ago, I believe, before my time. And we've been doing the work in-house. The new control cabinet has been set. The majority of all the controls have been switched over to the new hardware. One of the final steps is to get SCADA switched from the old controls to the new controls. And that's what this proposal from BWCSI is for.
Any questions? We're fine. Can you give the consent?
The final item I have for you this evening is just an update on the tree removals for the Emerald Ash Borer, mainly. Our original estimates have been, we've spent more than we expected. Our original estimate was, our original budget was $70,000. And I came back to the board and said there was an additional amount of trees that we can get taken down to try and get everything wrapped up this year and ask for an additional $35,000. Put our total at $105,000. After going through the list, we had a couple other trees come up. We had some stump removals. We had a few hazard trees that had to come down. And our total that we're looking at right now, roughly, is $122,000. So we've gone about $16,000 over what we had expected. $7,000 of that were from hazard trees that we found after the project had started. Another $10,000 of that are from stumps that we had ground out. Stumps are left behind from homeowners who have taken it upon themselves to remove dead parkway tree. Oftentimes they don't have the means to remove the stump, so instead of just leaving it there, we thought, since the contractor's in town grinding stumps for their trees, we'll have to pick up all those stumps as well. We had also removed a decent number of trees in the Brighton Meadows neighborhood ourselves and had left the stumps with the intention of coming back to grind them at a later date. We do not have a stump grinder ourselves, so we had to rent one. We decided, again, since the contractor is here doing the work, we just let him catch all those as well. So this is just a heads up that this is coming. I have not received the final invoice from Homer Tree Care yet. Just wanted to keep you updated.
I think I want to add to that that although it's over, this will be the end of the project and we will be essentially done with the Emerald Ash Borer project for good. I mean, there may be some trees here and there, hopefully not, but our suggestion was just to get it done, be done with it. There's a total of $135,000 budgeted. We probably should have came back last time instead of putting the Juneteenth seat at X just to say we have this amount over here for tree trimming at 60. Let's use it to get it done with so we got some no longer any complaints from any residents and move forward.
Yeah, that's a good point. We will be under on the total fund for trees. We're not exceeding the budget amount.
Combination of the reforestation program fund and also trimming and pruning.
Yes.
Total of those two funds equals?
$135,000.
And your estimate is going to be total?
It's probably around $122,000.
I think it's money so well for it spent, and the residents, the feedback I'm getting is nothing but positive and good, so thank you.
What about new trees?
The focus this year has been on tree removal for the dead trees. We haven't. We would still have some funds left over for new trees. We don't have a plan yet for how to implement that.
I would tell you, Henry's not here tonight, but one of this tree is probably the worst I've seen. Just with the trees down, it looks so much better. And then we'll have a plan to replace those trees in the future with brand new trees.
I keep calling it Farmwood. I'm sorry. Parkview. I can't stop doing that. Yeah, that's on my bicycle route, and it's incredibly better. I would think that it would look out of place, too open, because so many trees have been removed, but I mean, it's just a wonderful improvement. The question I have is, in that subdivision, Adam, and I know these are the responsibility of the homeowners, the little decorative bricks surroundings that they put around a lot of them. The contractors have left those there. Nobody's removing them. Do we have a plan? Are we going to end up doing it? I can see that taking a lot of time and effort.
Before the project started, we delivered notices to all the residents and informed them that any decorative landscaping items in the parkway around the trees are the homeowner's responsibility. The village never put them there. Homeowners put them there. So it's the homeowner's responsibility to remove them. If it becomes an issue where people are removing it and it's an eyesight, we could certainly discuss options for public works to remove it.
I would say prepare for it. I went through there yesterday in Parkview, and I don't know if any of them has been removed. So just brick pile after brick pile after brick pile.
I think our ordinance is pretty clear on the parkway, in that anything that's done to the parkway to improve what they feel is improved is on them.
And I understand that, but they're not going to pick it up.
But it does say, should the village have to remove it or move it, it is the homeowner's responsibility. So I would think that they should get a letter from the village that it is expected to be done or removed.
And they've gotten that letter already.
I don't think we can, well, then I guess we have to have code enforcers enforce. We can't accept to start even, and I think that our council will agree, once you begin to allow for this or that or the other, when it comes to something bigger, and you've already allowed for it in a smaller fashion, you sort of lose your footing in how you're going to handle it later, and should there ever be any kind of litigation, and the judge realizes you've done something different for some versus others, and I think that's what you have to hold the line for. You have to be diligent in that. The ordinance is very clear, and the ordinance is not new, and I think the people need to know that, and I think we need to let them know that. That's just my opinion. I know that in my subdivision, we have a lot of people who, you know, groused about doing that in particular. And even the homeowner association, because they've come to us asking for us to belly on for them. But the ordinance is very clear. You know, you did this. When you asked for the permission to do this, we were very clear to tell you you can't, you know, expect anyone else to take care of it. They grow up a little bit more, and usually they take care of it.
So another letter would go out? And I guess the question I'm just asking is, if they ignore another letter, then I don't think we want to go to the point where you're going to be fined or liable for something. We just remove it. Something that you have planned. I can see this because there's so many of them. If it was two or three, I would say it's not going to be a big deal. But this might end up being a big deal that would require a lot of man hours if we ended up having to review this stuff. So,
the person will get involved. No letters done, there's nothing done, and code enforcement has to resolve the issue. They'll do their normal letter with the code citation and all that, and if necessary. I know you're talking about how it's out there. There's a lot of work.
I just hate to see us get involved in removing them at our cost, for one, and then two, getting involved in, but we did it for them, and we did it for this one, and we did it in that division, but we didn't do it in the subdivision. And, you know, if you're going to do for one, you have to be prepared to do for all. We don't have that kind of budget, and we never meant to have that kind of budget, or we wouldn't have the ordinance that we have.
Thank you. Any other discussion? So the additional tree costs is, we'll move that forward.
Yeah. I'll come back to the board when I have a final actual value.
Okay. Thank you, Evan.
Thank you.
Police Department, Chief.
Mr. Mayor, with members of the board, the agenda item summary that I brought to you tonight is the request to send another supervisor to the Northwestern University Center for Public Safety 10-week staffing command school. This school would be from March of next year through May, March 13th and May 19th. We have to reserve the space this far in advance to get into the class. We've already sent Commander Akey and Sergeant Bell, and desire is to try and send all of our supervisors to this training. This is probably it's world-class training put off by Northwestern University. Probably the highest level training a police officer is going to get besides the National FBI Academy. So it's a career moment for any individual in this industry. The cost of the class would be approximately $4,400 for in totality for tuition, books, parking, and meals for the entire 10 weeks.
I know how important it is that you know Chief Stein, and I'm all for it moving forward.
Absolutely. Not from this group you're going to get any. Thank you, Chief.
The next item on the agenda is just a verbal discussion about emergency management. In October, I received an email. It's a mass email sent out by a man named Michael Daisy, who's the new emergency management coordinator for Lake County. In the email, he was introducing himself and expressed a desire at some point to meet with all the emergency management coordinators in Lake County and the state representatives and coincide with that if he could find a place to do it. So I volunteered our community room and he took us up on it. And on the 27th, we had pretty much every emergency management coordinator in Lake County at the community room. I'm sure there were some missing, but anybody who wanted to be there was there. The room was full. Steve attended. And what he is trying to do is set up a consortium of all the emergency managers in the county and try to build a better working relationship. One of the things he also presented was, it's called Plan Development Review Crosswalk. It's for our emergency management plan. We have to submit to the county and they'll submit it to the state for approval. And it's 26 pages of checkboxes that we have to make sure we have. This has never been done here at all. So it would be an interesting adventure trying to make sure we're up to snuff. This would be great help. And it was nice to have them come to the village, and I hope they come back again. We tried to be as hospitable as we could. Thank you. Point of motion.
Thank you for the initiative.
Okay. Now, with that, with updating the emergency plan, we are going to have to do some drills and have to practice. And we need to get our the classes that are required to take up the snuff. And one of the things I'll suggest is that the board members also get involved in that, at least at the very basic classes. And I can, I'm sure I could teach them to you so you don't have to spend hours in front of the computer. But I think it would benefit the entire village and you in the event of an emergency because you'll know what your role is and how to approach it. I think it's behind the door. And it also give you bragging rights if you get some lights or something.
Chief, when you are ready, please communicate with me, and I'm sure the board will be more than happy to attend with me.
And you won't have to worry about public meetings because anybody can come out to participate as well. It might be a bit of a better fit than this one if they wanted to. Thank you.
Thank you. Any new topics? If not, may I get a motion for item 6.1 to move into executive session to discuss potential litigation pursuant to section 2C, parentheses 1, of the Illinois Open Meeting Act.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Trippon, seconded by Trustee Foy. All in favor?
Aye.
We will move into executive session at 7:44 p.m.